little different than Matthew. In what way? They're all talking about this guy named Jesus, right? All right, the first sentence there under Mark on the next page, the Gospel of Mark was written to a Roman audience. And if one verse could reflect the message of the book, it would be this: for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. In the book of Mark, Christ is presented as the ideal servant. Unlike Matthew, Mark does not give us the genealogy of Christ, for the genealogy of a servant is not important, and it wouldn't be important to the Romans. So, and more there, of course, about Mark. Anything about Matthew or Mark so far? And then, as Ward mentioned, the next page, Luke has a distinction of being the only Gentile writer in the Bible. Where do we find Luke in the New Testament for the first time? You don't have to give me the chapter necessarily, but if you remember. All right, in the book of Acts, on one of Paul's journeys, right? He picks up Luke. Luke was a physician, and as Ward mentioned, he's a historian. Historian from the standpoint, as you look at the book of Luke and the book of Acts, and of course, we use the word book in our modern terminology. They're actually letters. The letter of Luke to Theophilus is the book of Luke, and the letter to Theophilus from Luke is the book of Acts. Anyway, what I was going to say was, as Ward mentioned, Luke was a historian, and by that we mean that he said, I looked at the facts as they were, as the history presented itself, and he determined that this was the case with this, 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 and this. Have we mentioned what his occupation was yet today? Everybody knows that. He was a physician. So Luke has some terms that are a little different than Matthew, Mark, and John, because he looks at it from the standpoint of medical things, and that's kind of interesting. Here in the second paragraph under Luke, as a physician, he is more exacting in his use of language. When he refers to a leper, he uses the exact medical term to describe the condition, that is, full of leprosy. In Mark, we read of the man with the withered hand whom Jesus healed on the Sabbath. Luke adds it was his right hand. One side says his withered hand, the other guy, Luke, was more exacting in his right hand when it was withered. So, also in this paragraph says, a physician who notes that in the garden, our Lord's sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. That's my medical background with that kind of comment. Anything on Luke? Kramer. A free man? Okay. There is that historical thought about Luke. A freed man would have been a man who was a slave, but he was freed by his master. Paul said he was not a freed man. Why? He was born in a Roman city. And that gave him Roman citizenship, and he was not a slave. Anything else? The Gospel of John, unlike the other Gospels, this is in the middle of that third page. John clearly states the purpose of his book. After describing the appearance of Jesus to Thomas and to the rest of the apostles, what did John say was the reason he wrote the book, in your words? So that you may believe. I'm not sure if I heard a different answer. Probably a good answer. But truly did Jesus many other truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And we're going to come across several terms that, as we're looking at the life of Christ, several terms that describe him, like right here in this one verse, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and so forth. And then, can you think of, that's three, can you think of some other terms? Not just in John, but in any of the four books. The Word, that's in John. Emmanuel, Son of Man, that's six, I think, if I counted right. And each one of them, and I don't know if we'll spend a lot of time on it, but each one of them has significance. Jesus. What's the meaning of that term, that word, that name? Savior. It's the same word in Hebrew as Joshua. And that's the word, that's the name, I should say, that people knew of him, if people knew of him in Palestine, Israel, Canaan, whatever term you wish to use for that land, many would have heard of this Jesus. I say many, that were not disciples, not apostles. So it was a common name. And so when Jesus is mentioned, sometimes it's Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, it's that Jesus. He's called a Nazarene because he's from Nazareth, not because he is a member of the Nazarene church. But I haven't seen Church of the Nazarene. Have you seen that lately anywhere? I haven't seen it done. Oh, they have one in Oak Harbor? Is there one here? Anyway, so they identify which Jesus it is. And Jesus, John says, written that you might know that Jesus is the Christ. Sometimes the word Jesus Christ is used in the same verse. What's the word Christ mean? Them, one who is anointed. Okay. Son of God. We'll be looking at that term. Somebody mentioned Son of Man. Can he be Son of God and Son of Man at the same time? Certainly. Why is he called the Son of God? Why is that? He has the... All right, we're going to be studying about how it was that Mary came about to, being pregnant, and he is the Son of God. A number of aspects of that term. He is God, as somebody mentioned. Son of is a very interesting, to me anyway, expression. Jesus said something, was it the Pharisees, you sons of vipers? Were they actually snakes? Character. Did you see that on Facebook this day? I don't know who put it on there. A snake eating another snake. And somebody in Texas, I think, was this one snake, a good snake, was eating a copperhead. Copperhead's very poisonous. And people kill snakes. Well, they kill the wrong snake. Then the copperheads are going to be multiplying. Anyway. That's what Facebook gets you. All great, wonderful tidbits. Okay, son of. I was going to talk about son of vipers. They weren't snakes, literally so, of course, and Jesus uses that as a figure of speech. A son has a characteristic of the father. Right? May not look like him exactly, but sometimes we say, well, he's a spitting image of his father. That's a funny term to me also. But what they're saying is he's very much like his father. Well, the son's going to be like his father because the father produced the son, so to speak. So son of God, same idea. Son of man, he has the characteristics of man. So anyway, that's John. Anything about the four good news books? Yes, Kelly.
Well, another thing is there are a lot of timestamps.
Yeah.
I don't keep up on archaeology, but I was wondering if they have in external evidence the archaeology found references to people and places.
Yes. The question is... And that's one thing about Luke. He's exacting, and he'll give a time frame. And that's the reason we said last week or whenever it was that Luke is more in chronological order. He's precise in this and this and this. And we'll see that in one chart we'll give you in a minute. And he mentions different people outside, so to speak, not Pontius Pilate. I just see that one right here just looking at it. He mentions Herod. The high priest and Augustus Caesar, etc. And Kelly's point was, is do we have evidence of these people that Luke mentions outside of the scripture? And of course, you know that like Julius Caesar, there's a lot of reference to him. And to the Herods, not so much outside of the Bible. I guess Augustus Caesar to be the most famous one that's mentioned in the scriptures. That's also, of course, has evidence that he lived. Ward, go ahead.
Now, one of those facts that he mentioned about someone who was associated with God was the what was it? The human genus, I don't remember who. He described that was wrong.
I can't. I've heard of it. I can't think of who he was. That might be. That sounds like him. The finally, did I interrupt you? Did I?
No.
Okay. The archaeological evidence, as well as historical evidences and books and so on, is I think important to the scriptures, and it's one of my favorite subjects. Archaeology is, but if we didn't have any of it, I think I could still believe the scriptures are from God and that they're true. But this fellow Ramsey, if that's who Ward and I are thinking of, wrote a book about how it was that he didn't believe the Bible was God's word and so on, and these people were myths or whatever they did was myths, and he started looking it up and found more evidence. Is he the one that wrote the book Living Stones or something like that? Anyway, yeah. It's been a while since I've looked at that. On the back of this sheet, we have the life of Christ. You're familiar with this. Brian used this in his study of the book of Acts. This is the 15th of the 17 periods of the Bible. Did Andy write this, or did he revise it, or is this his material? Tweeted it. Tweaked it? Then tweet it. Tweet and tweak. Tweak. Tweet's a different thing. All right. Anyway, yes. So anyhow, that's probably the simplest makeup of the four books right there. And that's good material, so have a look at that. Now then, what else did I hand out? Anything? I took it all back. Today, a... parallel and can we have enough people here that can sit close enough that they can take one and pass it back? Let me get that in. This is a harmony of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I think this will be helpful for you as you read for each lesson, and it's There's a number of harmonies J.W. McGarvey wrote a whole book, The Harmony of the Gospel. It's about that thick. So, but this is laid out, just the event over here on the left-hand side, and then the books where, and the scriptures where those events are noted. And so, as you look through it, you'll see that it kind of divides it into different sections. Starts out with the pre-Christ narratives on the first page, then the birth and early childhood of Christ. And as the next sheet that we hand out, you'll see there's a little difference in what the scriptures, not a difference in the scriptures, and a difference in the breakdown of where this chapter and these verses go with this event and so on. It's not an exact science to harmonize, but this is one. So in our lesson next time, if we don't get started today, you look up here at the top of this sheet on the first page, and it says pre-Christ narratives, Luke's preface. Now, St. Luke, the people who made this up, of course, use that terminology. I don't like it, but that's neither here nor there. Luke's preface. Go over here to the Luke column, and you see it's chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. And then God the Word, he uses John 1, verse 1 through 14 as a preface, where John talks about the Word was in the beginning, the Word was God, the Word's with God, and so forth. So that's pre-birth of Jesus. And then the next section is the birth and early childhood of Christ. And the first three first four scriptures are in Luke. If you go over there, the column, Matthew doesn't have anything, Mark and John. So the birth of Jesus foretold, the annunciation of the birth of Jesus, Mary visits Elizabeth, birth of John the Baptist, and then there's two genealogies. So if you ever think, well, now where in the world is the genealogy of Christ listed? Well, here they are. One is in Matthew, chapter 1. First 17 verses, and then you go over there, another one in Luke, and that's the third chapter, verse 23 through 38. Then they have the birth of Christ, and Matthew and Luke are the only ones that mention that. So on down, I know I didn't have to explain all that, but that's what that is for. If you didn't have one, it may be helpful to you as we study each lesson. Okay, now where is the parallel passage, if there is one, to this particular scripture that we're looking at. Now the next one, I debated on whether or not to have it handed to you, but you may need a magnifying glass. But I think it'll be helpful, and so put these in your three-ring binder. It's kind of a chronology. Well, it's more than a kind of. It is a chronology. The life of Christ on a timeline. That harmony of the Gospels is, in a sense, a timeline because it starts and it goes down chronologically. That's the first sheet in this one I'm handing out. There's two sheets. The first one is the life of Christ. It has different breakdowns. At the top, the year of inauguration, we'll talk about that, the year of popularity and the year of opposition. It's how the life of Christ is broken down with this. So that's the timeline up there. But then on the first page, you'll see where it says the year of inauguration, the year of popularity. And you turn the page and you'll see down here, the year of opposition is continued, and then the last week, the resurrection, and so on. It puts a date on it, as opposed to the harmony. There's no dates that I remember, any dates given on it. No, so And I said, I debated where to give it to you. I can read it with my glasses, but it is very small. And it's hard to see the dotted lines that it's talked about. If you look on that first page down here at the very bottom, that's even hard to read. But it says the dotted lines leading to the timeline are meant to define sequence of events only. Exact dates, even years, even year dates are generally unknown. Exact dates, and you can see barely see the dotted lines. But anyway, that may not be of great importance. Dating in the Bible is not an exact science, in meaning that you can pinpoint it. Sometimes you can. We can say, okay, Jesus was crucified on March the 3rd, et cetera, et cetera. Now, that's not so, but I'm just using that as an example. Different times, different events can be dated sometime pretty precisely. But of course, back in the Old Testament, it's even worse to try to do that than in the New. Then the second page to this that I just handed out is journey to Bethlehem, flight to Egypt, and return to Nazareth. And then to the bottom of it, the baptism and temptation of Jesus. To me, and may not be to you, that's all right. I understand that not everybody likes geography like I do. To me, to have a map to see where the events took place makes it more where I can imagine the event and what it was like where they were. So we have here Israel over here. They went to Egypt, kind of trace it. We don't know the exact route, but it's possible that that's pretty close. They came back from Egypt, and you see the dotted line up to Nazareth. And then down here on the temptation, you zoom in. See, the Dead Sea is up here on this one. Down here, you just see the north end of the Dead Sea there. Jesus was tempted over there in the Judean wilderness. Now, just to mention something here, if you look at this temptation map of Jesus, you see traditionally, side of Jesus' baptism in the biblical Bethany on the other side of the Jordan River has not been definitely identified. You'll see that a lot of times. So we don't know, and it has an arrow pointing down to Bethany. That's the traditional place. Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, and the Jordan runs from up in the northern Galilee all the way down to the Dead Sea. So it could be anywhere in there, 70 to 80 miles. Anyhow, that's the way that maps go sometimes. We don't know exactly. Now, we do know where Jerusalem is, that's for sure. We know where Jericho is and so forth. But sometimes when we're trying to pinpoint where Jesus was baptized, where John was preaching and baptizing, we don't know exactly. Now, I'm glad they didn't put, well, maybe they should have. There are two Bethanies, one on the east side of the Jordan River and one on the west side. And the one on the west side is just east of Jerusalem. So that gets confusing too, because there's a lot of names, place names, that there's more than one by that name. Antioch, there's two Antiochs, right? Okay, if you ever wanted to know anything about the genealogy of Herod, the king, that's it there. And you have to study this a little bit to see how it's set up, but I think once you look at it a while, you'll see what's going on. You got Herod the Great, and he had Herod Philip the Second, Archelaus, Aristobulus, Herod Antipas, Herod Philip, and Antipater, or however you want to pronounce it. And it gives the mother's name or the wife's name and the relationship and so on. So, well, what Herod was that over there that killed James in the 12th chapter of Acts? You'll find it on there somewhere and see how he was related to Herod the Great. Okay? Any question about that that confused you? Okay. Handed out this sheet last week and didn't have anything on the back of it like I intended. So this is the last sheet I'm handing out today. And this is the sheet. We'll start with lesson number one. That's just the title page. And so lesson number one's on the back side of it. As I said last week, these lessons will simply be a guide. It would be good if you would read the scripture, read the questions even. Some of the questions are, oh, well, everybody knows who the mother of Jesus was, so that's nothing hard. But some of them, I hope, will provoke some discussion, some questions maybe in our mind. And we'll use it as a guide sheet. We don't have to stick with it and say, okay, that's it. Anyway, it's made for you to read at the top there. Read a scripture every day of the week. And so lesson number one is the birth of Christ. The aim of this lesson is to learn the events prior to and surrounding the birth of Christ. And then it gives some memory verses. If you want to memorize those verses, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. But then we have daily Bible readings. That's the next section there, as you can read. And it's Saturday, Christ's birth and announcement. Monday, Christ's birth and announcement to Joseph. Oh, that first one was to Mary. I didn't say that. Tuesday is Christ is born, et cetera, et cetera. And then it gives the passages over there. And somewhat like the harmony of the Gospels, here you got it again. Luke, let's see what else. Just Luke and Matthew are given here. So in lesson number one, we have Luke and Matthew. As you would see when we looked at the harmony, that's the way it was. First passages, Luke and Matthew. This one thing this will do also, all of the material that has a timeline or on it, is that when did the wise men visit Jesus? Was it the same night that the shepherds visited? Good. In the what house? Okay. So they were in a house. So that gives you some indication, but that maybe the shepherds came and visited in the stable, and the wise men came to the house the same night. Okay. Well, 2 years and older. When I was growing up and hearing the story of the birth of Jesus, I always thought they came the same night. That's, you know, when I was about that old. So, no big deal, but it helps us to get the understanding. Just like Mo said, when Herod heard about a king being born, why did he choose 2 years and under? Because it could have been that Jesus, by the time he had him killed, would have been 2 years old. So anyway, Ted? Is Ted right? There's three gifts, yes. That's what happens sometimes when men read into the scripture something that's not there. Okay. Don't get so technical on me. My.
You asked the question.
Okay, there's what?
Rhetorical. Yes, a rhetorical
question. A rhetorical question. Yeah, I do that sometimes. I ask a rhetorical question. Over here, I have fun. Go ahead. That's right. I have heard them. Malchus is one of them, I think.
Balthazar
or something like that. Yeah. Are those guys named in the scripture? No, they're not. What kind of names did the people use to name them? What was the origin of the names? Maybe a better. Yeah. I can't prove it. They are Babylonian, that part of the country. The wise men came from the east. They're that kind of name. You know, what was Daniel's other name? Belteshazzar. Daniel's name Daniel, of course, is a Hebrew name, but his name that was given to him was a Babylonian name. So anyway, that's those three guys, the people that named them. No, that was the that was a president back in the was it in the 30s or earlier than that. When did Theodore Roosevelt? That was a president, not these wise men. Yeah. Okay. Anything else you want to comment on before we look at a couple of things here and our time will be gone? So this is going to be for next week for sure. And if we finish this next week, and I'll have it ready, whether we do or not, I'll have lesson number two ready for us to look at after that. As I said, I don't really want to follow exactly question for question, but if you read them through the week and you see one of these questions, or certainly down at the bottom, I have something to say about that. But if you want to answer them on a separate sheet, maybe you have room here, but probably on a separate sheet, and you have a question about a question or whatever, why then bring it up. As I said last time, whom did God choose to be the mother of Christ? I think everybody probably even in the world knows who Mary was. Who made this announcement to the mother of Jesus? And they didn't use who made this announcement to Mary. That would have given you answer number one. So they so who made this announcement to the mother of Jesus? Pardon me? Gabriel. I didn't hear the pronunciation at first. Sorry, Kelly. Who was Gabriel? He's an angel, okay. What sign was given the mother of Christ so that she would know nothing was impossible with God? That's a little harder to remember, at least for me. Somebody said something, somebody nodded, and I didn't hear it. Elizabeth. Who's Elizabeth? Besides Maybeth's grandmother. Okay. Mary's cousin, John the Baptist's mother. Something happened there, and I want you to tell me what it was, what that sign was. Okay, it was Elizabeth and had to do with her. Number four, to whom was the mother of Christ promised to be married? To whom was the mother of Christ promised to be married? Joseph? Is that okay? I didn't read the right the first time. And so on these questions, by what name was Christ to be called, and what does it mean? We mentioned that a while ago. Mo?
Well,
yeah. Yeah.
Was she actually a cousin or was she a kinsman? Elizabeth was a Levite and Mary was a
Levite. Everybody in the Jewish nation was a cousin.
That's why I'm saying kinsman versus
yeah. Mo brings up a question. It's your assignment for next week. Not just Mo, it's all of you. I have the assignment for next week. Was Mary and Elizabeth cousins, as we think of cousin, or just kinsmen? Now, does maybe that word kinsman means cousin? We're going to find out next week when you let us know. Okay, anyway, those questions, some of them are simple. I do want to, if we can, spend some time on the questions for thought. They're a little thoughtier. When Jesus was presented in the temple, what did his parents do that indicates they were poor? That one's kind of easy, too. But then down at the bottom, we do want to try to get some application for us. And so I'll read this and see. It'll be each one of the lessons will kind of be in this format. In the bottom it says, lesson application, what God asked of Mary and Joseph in the matter of the birth of Christ was a singular trial of faith. A virgin will conceive, I do not know the man, conceived of the Holy Spirit, save his people from their sins. No wonder Joseph was afraid and Mary amazed, in Luke 1, Matthew 1 of the scriptures there. From this we learn what? The importance of having sufficient faith to do the will of God. That's a conclusion that the lesson didn't Mary and Joseph have to have some faith to carry out, to continue, I guess would be a better way of putting it, the instructions that God and the responsibility that God had given to them. I think Joseph certainly had to have some faith, but to me, it would be, and this is pure speculation or opinion, that Mary really had to have some faith to think that this is the Son of God. Chew on that for next week and give us some more thoughts about that. And put your sheets in the binder. Be good to bring them with us, because we may refer to some of those sheets that we handed out today other than this one here. All right. Hand up, anybody? You afraid to ask any more? Well, like Mo did, we'll give you an assignment.
You know where you might be up?
Yes. All right.
The first one out.
Thank you. We'll continue next week. I hope that material is not overwhelming, and look at it over the week and get familiar with it if you can.